Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, you are truly here. Wherever we are, you are in our soul, sanctifying us by your very presence. You, the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, dwelling in these living tabernacles that we are. We pray now about that vocation that you have given to all of us, to live out our Christian calling to holiness and the apostolate, because you have a personal calling, a personal vocation, a personal mission for each one of us. We look back to the Old Testament and we see how you carried out your plan for salvation through individuals who cooperated with you, how you chose Abraham to come out of that familiar country of his, to go to an unknown land, not knowing where he was going, but understanding that you were calling him. And so he became the father of the Jewish people. You chose Moses, saving his life as an infant, growing up in the house of the Pharaoh, then leading the Israelites out of that 400 odd years of slavery into freedom, first in the desert, and then after Moses' death, crossing into the promised land under Joshua. Moses was responsive to your calling, even though it cost him dearly. Lord, yourself, you accepted the will of the Father. You became man. You always did the will of the Father on earth. My food is to do the will of the one who sent me, you said. And you founded the church. And you gave us our salvation by dying on the cross. We look at simple people like Priscilla and Aquila in the Acts of the Apostles. They left Rome when the Jews were being persecuted. They went back to Asia Minor. There it was they that converted Apollos, who became a great ambassador for the faith. Each one responding to their calling, bringing about your plan of salvation. We look at St. Paul, persecuting the church. You chose him for a mission. He fulfilled it to the end. And we skip forward and look at modern figures like St. Jose Maria. You inspired Opus Dei in his soul, giving him those inklings when he was a teenager, leading him to the seminary, to priestly ordination. Then you revealed your plan for Opus Dei in that young priest who was only 26 years of age and 3 years ordained. And today Opus Dei is spread throughout the world. And Lord, as you had a plan, a mission for each one of these and for every other great figure and ordinary figure in the history of the world and the history of the church, you have a plan for each one of us. John Henry Newman says, God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of the truth in my own place, while not intending it, if I do but keep his commandments. Therefore I will trust him. Whatever, wherever I am, I can never be thrown away. If I am in sickness, my sickness may serve him. In perplexity, my perplexity may serve him. If I am in sorrow, my sorrow may serve him. He does nothing in vain. He knows what he is about. And Lord, we make that prayer our own. You have created me, each one of us, to do you some definite service. You have committed some work to me, which you have not committed to another, because each one of us is unique. No one else is in our set of circumstances. And there you call us to follow you, to be that saint that you want us to be within our many human limitations and sins, and you want us to spread your truth to others where we are. You have a vocation for each one of us. And as St. Jose Maria writes in The Way, many great things depend, don't forget it, on whether you and I live our lives as God wants. If we look at the one who wrote those words, he lived his life as you wanted. And as a result of that, hundreds of thousands of people read his works. The Way alone was printed in over 4 million copies. Follow his spirituality, are growing in holiness, are on their way to heaven, and are helping many others on their way to heaven. Because one man, one young boy as a teenager, lived his life as you wanted. Lord, my life will not be as transcendental as was St. Jose Maria's, but each one of us has a mission to carry out that you have entrusted to us from all eternity. We read in the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians in the first chapter, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him." Lord, you chose us, you chose each one of us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before you. Holy, a calling to holiness, a calling to each one. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Lord, help us to fulfill your will to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. And Lord, you have called us to carry out that mission, and you have lavished your graces upon us to help us. That sanctifying grace that makes us holy, and those actual graces to do your will. You have truly given us the riches of your grace. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will. And Lord, you have made that known, the mystery of your will to each one of us, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. to unite the whole world with God. This is our mission, to be united with you ourselves in order to bring others to you. And you say that in the Last Supper to all of the apostles and really to all human beings. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. You chose me. We may think, yes, we freely chose to follow you, to be those practicing Catholics that we are today. But no, we didn't choose you. You chose us before we chose you. And you gave us the grace to choose you. Your invitation came first. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. The fruit of holiness in ourselves, which abides unto eternal life, and that fruit of bringing others to you. And when they come closer to you and remain with you and go to heaven, their life, their fruitfulness abides forever in heaven. And you say in that same Last Supper, in that same 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel, the way that we are to live this out, you use the example of the branches united to the vine. And you say, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Lord, how will we carry out our calling to holiness by being very united to you who are the vine? Because without you, we can do nothing. And united with you, branches united to you who are the vine, we receive that divine sap, that grace, that divine life in our soul that makes us holy, that makes us fruitful. To be united with you through prayer every day, from those morning prayers, those times of meditation, where we talk with you as we are doing now, speaking with you about our call to holiness and apostolate, listening to you, to what you have to say to each one of us. The rosary, another form of prayer where we meditate on your life as seen through the eyes of Mary. And those brief meditations on each mystery are very helpful, and they anchor us in you. We abide in you. We are branches united to you when we say the rosary. The Angelus, our night prayers, grace before meals, all the different forms of prayer. Lord, make us very prayerful. Through prayer, we are united to you. We do grow very much in holiness. And then the sacraments, the sacrament of penance, where we are purified of all of that self-love, of all of that pride, of all of that laziness and self-indulgence. And we become more united with you as we are purified of those aspects of our life that take us away from you. Help us to receive the sacrament of penance regularly. And of course, the Eucharist, where we are truly one with you. As you said in the synagogue of Capernaum, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. Lord, there is no closer union with you on earth than communion, that union with you, that Holy Communion is. And the more often we can go to Mass and receive you in communion, the more we are living out our call to holiness. And then penance, mortification, so important. Again, to be purged of that self-love that pride, those wayward tendencies that separate us from you, and to make up for our sins. Mortification is of the essence of holiness. Saint Jose Maria writes in The Forge, you will have as much sanctity as you have mortification done out of love. And mortification is love shown in sacrifice, and it is the most pure form of love always. Lord, help us to be those saints that you want us to be, very united to the vine, and not just to be good, but to be holy, to be saints. This is the calling of all. The Second Vatican Council made that very clear in the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church, Lumen Gentium. It is therefore quite clear that all Christians in any state or walk of life are called to the fullness of Christian life and to the perfection of love. And by this holiness, a more human manner of life is fostered also in earthly society. All Christians of all walks of life are called. And Pope Paul VI, in the Motu Proprio Sanctitatis Clarior of the 19th of March, 1969, spoke of the importance of that call to holiness in the Council, writing, "This strong invitation to holiness could be regarded as the most characteristic element in the whole magisterium of the Council, and, so to say, its ultimate purpose." The whole purpose of the Council, to inculcate that call to holiness. And Pope John Paul II, in his apostolic exhortation, Christi Fidelis Laici, writes, "The Second Vatican Council has significantly spoken on the universal call to holiness. It is possible to say that this call to holiness is precisely the basic charge entrusted to all the sons and daughters of the Church by a council which intended to bring a renewal of Christian life based on the gospel. This charge is not a simple moral exhortation, but an undeniable requirement arising from the mystery of the Church." An undeniable requirement. Lord, help us, help each one of us, help me to seek that holiness to which you are calling me, to be truly a branch united to the vine. Then we bear much fruit. And it is a calling, as we say, to everyone. John Paul II, in his apostolic letter, Novo Millennio in Eunte, writes, "As the Council itself explained, this ideal of perfection must not be understood as if it involves some kind of extraordinary existence, possible only for a few uncommon heroes of holiness. The ways of holiness are many, according to the vocation of each individual. I thank the Lord that in these years he has enabled me to beatify and canonize a large number of Christians, and among them many lay people who attained holiness in the most ordinary circumstances of life. The time has come to re-propose wholeheartedly to everyone this high standard of ordinary Christian living. The whole life of the Christian community and of Christian families must lead in this direction." And again, we say, Lord, help me to go in that direction, to help my family, to help everyone around me grow in love for you, to be truly united to you. Then we bear much fruit. And this is the message that Saint Jose Maria was preaching at a time when it was regarded as heresy. Way back in 1930, in a letter, he wrote, "We have come to say with the humility of one who knows himself to be a sinner and of little worth, I am a sinful man, we say with Peter, but with the faith of one who allows himself to be led by the hand of God, that sanctity is not something for the privileged few, that God is calling all of us, that from all of us he expects love, from all, no matter where they are, from all, no matter what their state, their profession, or their job, because that normal, ordinary, hidden life can be a means of sanctity. That clear message way back in 1930, and he was pilloried, he was persecuted for teaching that all can be saints, and how happy he was to see the Second Vatican Council solemnly proclaim that truth, which, as Pope Paul VI said, is one of the most important teachings of the Second Vatican Council. Lord, if we are saints, if we are struggling to be holy, to be united with you, to love you, which is what sanctity is, then we will bear much fruit. That holiness will be not only in ourselves, in our holiness of life, in our happiness, in our union with you, but it will be in the help that we give to others to find you, to come to love you too. And that is that second great aspect, our calling to the apostolate. And all the laity are called to carry out that great mission of evangelization in the world. And again, we go back to Lumen Gentium from the Second Vatican Council, number 31. By reason of their special vocation, it belongs to the laity to seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs, that is, the affairs of the world, and directing them according to God's will. They live in the world, that is, they are engaged in each and every work and business of the earth, and in the ordinary circumstances of social and family life, which, as it were, constitute their very existence. There they are called by God, that being led by the Spirit of the Gospel, they may contribute to the sanctification of the world, as from within, like leaven, by fulfilling their own particular duties. Thus, especially by the witness of their life, resplendent in faith, hope, and charity, they must manifest Christ to others. It pertains to them in a special way, so to illuminate and order all temporal things with which they are so closely associated, that these may be effected and grow according to Christ, and may be to the glory of the Creator and Redeemer. The great mission of the laity, their special vocation, as the Council says, to engage in temporal affairs and direct them according to God's will, to give that good example of a life resplendent in faith, hope, and charity in order to manifest Christ to others, to build up this world in a Christian way. It's a great mission, but it depends completely on our holiness of life. If we are united to the vine, we will bear much fruit. And in another paragraph, number 33, Lumen Gentium again uses the word vocation to refer to the laity. The laity, however, are given this special vocation to make the church present and fruitful in those places and circumstances where it is only through them that she can become the salt of the earth. Thus, every lay person, through those gifts given to him, is at once the witness and the living instrument of the mission of the church itself, according to the measure of Christ's bestowal. And Lord, help us to carry out that mission, to spread your word, to spread your truth, to spread your life and your love to others, to remind everyone God loves you, God died for you, God has a place for you in heaven. It is good news the Evangelium, the good news that we bring, that you brought, and that so many don't know. And when we consider that 99.9% of the church is the lay faithful, then if the church is to carry out its mission of evangelization, it must be especially the lay people who do it. People like Priscilla and Aquila in the early church, good Christians who meet Apollos and they convert him, and he too becomes a great apostle. That great mission of leading souls to God, of leading souls to happiness. And Lord, how will we do this? The Council already told us, by the witness of our life, resplendent in faith, hope, and charity, by our example, by our kindness, our cheerfulness, our caring for others, our honesty, our integrity. And people see we are different in that workplace, in that neighborhood, even within the family. We are different. They're drawn to us as a good person, as a kind person, and they see that we have faith, that we have hope, that we have love. They're drawn through us, Lord, to you. And we will do it by our prayer and penance for them too. We need to pray very much so that souls can be drawn closer to you and offer up mortifications for that intention. And then our word. And there will come those opportunities when people ask us questions or when we can sit down with someone and talk about life and the future and how they see things, maybe addressing their sadness, their lack of hope at times, and help them to discover God, to discover meaning, to discover a different way, a higher way, a way of hope and faith and love. Lord, you need us to carry out this mission. Those many people around us need us. In so many cases, we are the only one in their life who is in a position to help them, because we have the faith, we know the faith, and we are living it, and we can talk with them. Help us to be truly apostolic. And before we finish our prayer, we read some words of Pope John Paul II in an address to the Symposium of European Bishops in 1985. He said, "We need heralds of the gospel who are experts in humanity, who know deeply the heart of modern man, who share in his joys and hopes, in his anxiety and sadness, and at the same time are contemplatives, in love with God. For this task, we need new saints. The great evangelizers of Europe have been the saints. We must beseech our Lord to increase the spirit of sanctity in the church and to send us new saints to evangelize the world of today." Very inspiring words. We need new saints, and each one of us, as we have seen, is called to be that saint, to evangelize the world of today, that part of the world around each one of us. We finish our prayer going to Our Lady, Mary, Queen of all saints, the greatest of the saints, who always said yes to God and carried out his will, who loved God more than anyone. And Mary, Queen of apostles, who were there with the apostles in the upper room, praying with them, awaiting the coming of the Holy Spirit, who brought the church to life and sent the apostles out on their mission. And Mary, you accompanied them by your prayer, by your presence, by your encouragement. Mary, Queen of all saints, Queen of apostles, help us to respond to our vocation to sanctity and the apostolate. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.